Now, today we're continuing our series in Mark, and we're in week 5 into this series, and the passage that we're in today is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 34. So if you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you read along with me as I read out loud now from Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 34, which says this. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and he helped her up. And the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick, all the demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The title that I've given my message today from Mark chapter 1 is Fear Has No Place. Fear has no place. And as we sit today, we as a nation are afraid. We're afraid of what's happening to us right now. We're afraid of what might be to come. Our government has shut down many things, all those things that it considers a non-essential industries. There's further shutdowns that are likely. The economy as we know it is seemingly going over the cliff. Literally overnight, many people woke up to find that they had lost jobs and lost income as they had to shut their businesses down. And recovery potentially seems a while away. And then there's the health concerns, the what if questions. What if I or a loved one gets really sick in the coming months? Whether it be from this virus that's going around or whether it be from something else. Will the health system have the capacity to treat all those that need care? And you just can't help it as these questions begin to ruminate around in your brain and over again, and your stomach starts to feel tight. Sleep becomes a sometimes proposition. Worry and fear become your constant companion. Today, as we continue our series in Mark, I want to speak directly into that fear. The times are challenging. We need to be appropriately concerned. But at this time, more than ever, we also need to lean back onto Jesus, because we need to draw near to him. And as we do this, what we are going to discover is that fear has no place. This passage from Mark, which I read out just a few moments ago, describes how very early on in Jesus' ministry, he came to be recognized by all, by the powerful, by the religious, by the elite, but also by the common man, the worker and the poor. Everyone came to recognize him as one who had authority. And in the uncertain times that we live, we can take great hope today. Because no matter what it is that's coming at us, we are not without hope. Because we have a hope in Jesus that good will come out of bad. We have a hope in Jesus that miraculous events will be unfolding in our midst. We have a hope that Jesus will help overcome any fear. Because we have a hope in one who has authority. As I spent some time dwelling in this passage today, there's 5 different aspects that very quickly I would like to draw out. The first aspect from this passage is that evil exists. Evil exists. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, he's confronted with evil. Just before these events, he'd been baptized, he'd called his first disciples, his ministry has only just begun, and he turns up at the synagogue, he begins to teach the people, and they are amazed. And then there's this confrontation that happens. There's a man, he starts yelling out, he starts disrupting the things that Jesus was doing, and this man was not in control of himself. Mark tells us that he was possessed by an impure spirit. He was not in control. And the evil that was in was causing him to disrupt, to shriek, to carry on and get in the way of that which Jesus was doing. And it brings us to the second aspect that we can glean from this passage. And that is this: evil exists and it is powerful. It is powerful. Evil's power can play out in individuals as it does in this passage, but it can also play out in society generally. We don't have to look that far to find many examples. Intimate partner violence is an act of evil we see too commonly. The stats around this in our nation are horrific. It's a huge concern in these times especially. Indigenous disadvantage continues to be a major issue for our nation. And in spite of the best efforts of government and other NGOs, there's this wound that sits there that's yet to be healed. Australian foreign aid is now down to 0.23% of our GDP. We still are one of the wealthiest nations of the world. And yet we give virtually nothing away. And what we do give is directly resultant in the benefit of Australia's economy. You see, what we give away in foreign aid, it's not actually foreign aid at all. The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade website, it unapologetically states that it is aid for trade. Evil exists. The forces of evil are powerful. But it's important that we don't dwell on this for too long as we come to the third aspect that we can take from this passage. Yes, evil exists. Yes, it's powerful. But Jesus is more powerful. Jesus is more powerful. Now, this is actually something worth dwelling on. Now, I love cricket, as many of you would know, and in cricket there are bats and there are bats. Now, I've got a couple of cricket bats to show you today. My son plays cricket. He loves his cricket. And this bat here, this is his first cricket bat that we bought him. It's not a bad bat. It's a reasonable brand name, and if you hit the ball hard enough with this bat, it will go to the boundary line. It seems like a powerful bat. But then, as my son got more serious about his cricket, we bought him a second bat, and this is the second bat that we bought. This one cost us a bit more money. It's actually a far superior product. The other bat I showed you was made out of cashmere willow. This one is made out of English willow. And with this bat, with seemingly little effort, the ball just races to the boundary line. You see, evil exists. It does have power, but Jesus is far more powerful. His power is far superior to anything else that we can imagine. It doesn't matter what evil that we are coming up against, whether it's oppression, whether it's addiction, whether it's abuse, whether it's an illness, a disease, or even a virus, whatever it is that takes place that can put us in bondage, we can take hope today because Jesus is more powerful. He heals. He delivers. He calms the stormy seas. And this leads us to the fourth aspect that we can take from this passage today. Yes, evil exists. It is powerful, but Jesus is more powerful, and Jesus defeats illness and oppression. Jesus defeats illness and oppression. In this passage, there's a series of remarkable deliverances and healings. First, we have this man in the synagogue who's possessed by an impure spirit. And then we have Simon Peter's mother-in-law who was in bed with a really bad fever. And then as word gets out, the whole town of Capernaum, they bring their sick, they bring those that are possessed, and Jesus works into the night bringing healing and deliverance to them. He defeats illness. He defeats oppression. He did it way back then, and I believe that he still is up to this work today. For the past 12 months at our One Church prayer gathering, we've been praying for three different people who have been undergoing their own cancer battles. In at least one of those instances, there was little hope that was given, but we've been praying for healing. We've been praying for life to be protected. Now, so far, two of those three that we've been praying for are now cancer-free, and we keep praying for the third. The treatment that the doctors have come up with, that's worked, but so have our prayers. We believe that God has intervened into this situation. But there's something else that we receive when we pray that's worth us reflecting on. There is a gift that God gives us that I think is as important as any answer to prayer. And this brings us to the final aspect that we can glean from this passage. Evil exists. It is powerful. But Jesus is more powerful. He defeats illness and oppression. And so fear has no place. Fear has no place. As we pray, as we come to God, we are given the gift of peace. It flows into our hearts. It floods us into our whole beings. You see, the enemy's modus operandi is lies. In fact, Jesus calls the devil the father of liars. And these deceptions that come at us, they're always designed to bring fear. It's why one of the most common phrases in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." And what is really fascinating as we look at this passage is to look at who it is that ends up being fearful. It's not the people of Capernaum. It's not this town that's seemingly full of sick and oppressed and possessed people. It's not them. Fear had been lifted from them. The only place where fear arises in this passage is in evil itself. In verse 24, upon the sight of Jesus, it was the demons that shrieked, and with fear they cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" In these very worrying times, it's possible that fear can grab hold of you. And what fear does is it distracts us, because what fear does is it focuses on those things that are unknown, those things that are uncertain. And to get out of fear's grip, we need to let go of the unknowns. We need to focus on that which we do know. We need to release our worries about tomorrow. My grandfather had a serious heart attack in his early 50s. He was able to live another 10 years, and this was actually a miracle in itself. No one expected him to live that long. Because of his health concerns, there was never any real assurance that he was going to live much longer beyond that day, whatever day it was that we were with him. But Grandpa was always a joyful man, and every day, just about in his terrible singing voice, he would sing to the rest of his family a famous gospel song of the late 70s and the early 80s. And it says these words, "One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time." It's time for us to let go. It's time for us to let go of tomorrow's worries, to let go of what is uncertain and what is unknown, to put aside that which distracts, and to come to the feet of He who has authority. Because as we come under Jesus' authority, fear dissolves away. In Psalm 34, verse 4, it says this, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Before I hand back to our worship team, I just want to pray for you right now. Will you join with me in prayer? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful God that you are, that no matter what is happening around us, no matter what is happening and coming at us, no matter what fears may sit, no matter what burdens we might be carrying right now, we thank you that we can give them to you, that as we come to your feet in prayer and in worship, we give them to you, and for you that burden is light and you are prepared to carry them for us. And Lord, in these troubled times and in the days ahead, we pray that we would be able to walk in step with you every moment of every day. And as that fear begins to grab hold, Lord, help us just to release it, to let it go. Help us to enjoy and appreciate each moment in the present. Help us to let tomorrow's worries worry about themselves. Lord, I believe that this situation presents to us many opportunities, and one of those opportunities is for us to grow towards you, for us to learn what it is to hang on to you, not just every other week, not just every day or so, but every moment of every day. Lord, for those that are with us this morning, we pray. For those that are troubled by fear especially, I pray a release from that fear. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would be coming and you would be bringing comfort. You would be flooding each person's heart with peace. Right at this moment, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.